5 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We are live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Thanks for being with us here. On our First Advantage Hotline, always love talking to this guy. A big game coming up, well, tomorrow morning. It'll be right here on 1310 KFKA as UNC gets set to take on Sacramento State in the first round of the Big Sky Conference tournament. Coach Steve Smiley, Coach, always a pleasure to get you on the program.
You bet, Brady. Pleasure to be here and excited about the, I think, the earliest game in the country tomorrow. if I'm reading the old ticker right, that 9 a.m. tip, there's not another game until 11 a.m., so the early bird.
Wow.
That's going to be the deal tomorrow.
I knew it was early. I didn't know it was going to be the earliest. But, well, Coach, how much – I know we talked about this in our Zoom conference last night, which was awesome, with the Round Ball Club. But how much does that affect you guys? And I guess that's a weird question because you guys have been throwing everything this year.
Well, I think, you know, we're trying to sell it as a you know, competitive advantage, just in the sense of we're the only team in the country outside of Montana who we played. Earlier this year, we're the only team to have a 9 a.m. game, I think, in the country. I think, you know, when we played Montana at Montana in really early January on that really weird Monday morning game, that was a 9 a.m. tip, and that was the earliest tip in the country, I think, all year. So, you know, just selling that to our guys, like, hey, you know, we've done this before. We've had the routine down. It's weird because usually, you know, you want to have a team meal about 4 hours before the game. Well, you're not going to get your guys up at 5 in the morning to eat. So, you got to kind of modify your schedule and figure out what's the happy medium. But I think our guys, you know, at least, you know, being through that before, that, hey, let's do it. We've done it before. Let's get after it.
Yeah, and we're certainly looking forward to it. Another weird weekend, though, going back even to the regular season. You guys have been used to this with Weber State. You get that first game, and that was a battle. And that's a – how many times, Coach, I don't even know how many times the Bears have won in Weber State. Not very often.
Once.
Yeah.
Once. Last year was the first time in school history.
Yeah.
On a last second shot that we hit. Ty Edwards made a shot at the buzzer to beat him. First time in school history. So, yeah, man, painful. I mean, obviously the way that thing went down, and that was as good of a college basketball game as you're going to see, especially just, you know, both teams competing so hard on that defensive end of the floor. It's hard for either one of us to score. Keeping them in the 50s, and they're probably, you know, the best or second best or whatever, you know, offense in our league. They're right there. There's not many teams better, and their talent level's really high. So, did a great job, and, you know, have a 2-point lead, and their best player was able to get to the rim and get fouled and made two free throws, which forced us to have that shot with 9 seconds left, and we got the last shot, and we just kind of had one of those moments where fouled after that shot, which was a tough way to finish it, obviously. But, I think, you know, going into that game, it was the first time in 10 games that we actually had our full roster available to us. That's what's so exciting about the tournament. Like, okay, you know, we finally got, you know, all the bullets back in the gun and got the whole team back. And I thought we went toe-to-toe with, you know, as good of a team in our league. You know, whether they're 1, 2, 3, they're three really, really good teams in our league. And we don't want to be the moral victory team, but we felt great about how we performed in that game, and I think it is a springboard into going into this game tomorrow.
Yeah, and like we've talked about several times, I mean, you only had a handful of games after the break, after the other COVID stall for you guys, and you've had you know whether it's you guys or other teams, which again throughout the country doesn't matter on what team you are, you're going to experience it at some point in time. You guys only had a handful of games after that, but an important series, or I guess the game against Weber State. I mean, you lose the game, but I know, Coach, you said you had the shots, you were developing. Do you feel like your guys are at this point where you want them to be right now heading into this tournament?
Yeah, I think so. And I think that, you know, just even going into the tournament, you know, can't get caught up in seeding and things like that. I mean, we've had some moments this year where two or three plays here or there and it'd be a different story, which everyone's got that. But, you know, you also, what's hard to see from the outside in the seeding part of this is that not everyone, no one played a full 20 games. So some teams played 18, 16, 14 games. And, you know, who you played and who you didn't play, that can factor into your seeding as well. So, you know, just kind of getting it, looking at the brackets, okay, you know, one game at a time, but we got to find a way to beat a good Sacramento State team and just move from there. But I do feel good about where we're at. Just, you know, the vibe of the team, I think we've got a, you know, collective confidence. You know, within our group, that we can get out and get this done one game at a time, and just try to stretch your season by one more day.
When you look at these players, like you said, getting this roster back, I mean, it's kind of working out, you know, where everything's kind of piecing together. You get a few of those games back under your belt. You're getting this roster where you want it to be. But talk about, Coach, some of the growth you've seen with some of these players, even in such a strange year, especially these last four games. I mean, you know, we talk about Kurejo Kuch. We talk about, Matt Johnson's been really sensational throughout the course of the season. Bodie's very reliable for you guys. Dalen Kuntz, the transfer, of course, from CU. I mean, the growth that you're seeing with these guys, and especially at the tail end, I mean, you got to be pleased with that portion.
Yeah, you know, those four guys, you know, Matt's been steady as a rock. But even early in the year, you know, Matt wasn't as productive. And that was, you know, us kind of figuring out the best way to get him to where he could be productive. And that was, a pretty big move to move him from the point guard to the two guard. And I think that really kind of loosened him up and unlocked him to do some things scoring-wise that have just been huge for our team. Dalen's been tremendous. You know, I think Dalen coming in, and it's Dalen's got two or three more levels to go in terms of production, you know, in the grand scheme of his career with us. But he's gotten so much better, so much more comfortable, confident. It's hard to come in as a transfer, not have a summertime, and just get kind of thrown in the mix, try to figure out. That's not easy to do, especially when the expectations of him are very high. He's done tremendous. Coors, you know, his development's been one that he's not fouling as much anymore. He's done a great job on that defense, been, you know, not eliminating himself from the games, we say. And then just playing really slow in the post. And then two, like, you know, he's shooting almost 70% from the free throw line now. And he's a guy that historically has been probably below 50. And it's amazing where you if you just keep yourself in the game and you shoot your free throws at a higher clip, his production has just skyrocketed from where it was, you know, early in the season. And then Bodie, I think the thing that gets with Bodie, it's like, you know, obviously there's some things that he can look at statistically and say, okay, you know, his free throws have been, you know, really off this year. I think that's kind of a blip on the radar for his big picture. You know, we ask him to hit tough shots, and so some of his percentages are probably a little bit lower than people would assume, but he's got the ball in his hands a lot at the end of a shot clock. But what people don't understand with Bodie is that he leads us in blocks. He leads us in steals. He's our second leading rebounder. And people forget about that. And I think, you know, his growth as an all-around player, defensively, rebounding-wise, being able to switch a ball screen and guard a good guard, he's done a tremendous job of that. So definitely want to highlight that. And just other guys, you know, Trey Smoots has developed so much this year. You know, he was shut down for a long time with all the protocols. Bryce Kennedy, who is now in the starting lineup, that he finally started, you know, really kind of asserting a role, and then he got shut down for 14 days of protocols. Jamel Melvin the same, you know, just so the protocol stuff is just it's affected everybody. But I do think that, you know, starting to figure out kind of some of these roles on the roster has been really good for us,
Coach. I think that's a great point about Bodie too. I know individually he had some big goals, or he wanted to be, you know, as far as a certain point total goes or average, sure, as far as that goes, but there is a lot to be said. You know, I look at some of these great players around the country and guys that were projected to score anywhere from the 15s to 18 points per game. They're not quite there, but the other stats are there. The defensive, yep, side of the ball is there, and I think that goes to your point.
Well, and, you know, even with Bodie, like if you just play the old math game a little bit and, you know, you take his free throws from where it's, you know, below 50, which sounds crazy, but it is. You take his free throws to, you know, 75, which is not, you know, unrealistic for Bodie. He should be in the 70s, and he'll get back to that. But take his free throws to that, move his three-point percentage up just a few percent. And I think part of that is just, you know, the stop-and-go that he's been in and out a little bit. But just that right there, and he's playing at about, you know, a 16 to 18 point per game. But, you know, again, you are what your stats say you are a little bit. But, what can't be, you know, misunderstood is what he's doing when the ball's not in his hands. And that's been tremendous for him. So he's still got, you know, in the grand scheme of things, some growth with his goals that he's going to get to because he works so hard at it. But all the stuff outside of the ball is something that I've been really proud of him for that.
We're talking to UNC Bears head coach Steve Smiley, getting set to take on Sacramento State tomorrow morning. Pregame coverage at 8:30, 9 o'clock tip-off there here on 1310 KFK and 1310KFK.com. Coach, tell us a little bit about Sac State. You don't have to give us the entire breakdown. We don't want to steal your notes, but I thoroughly enjoyed these, and I let my listeners know about these round ball get-togethers that we do. So insightful, breaking down some of the film. Not enough for us to be dangerous with it, but enough for us to learn a little bit more about what you guys are seeing.
Yeah, you know, I think Sac State, they're a good team. They're not just a dangerous team. No, they're dangerous. No, they're a good team. I think it's a pretty balanced game on both sides of it. You know, they don't score a ton, but that's because their pace is really slow. It's not that they can't score. They prefer to play at a really slow tempo. Best player, Ethan Esposito, second team all-league guy. I think he's the second leading scorer in the league. And he's really unorthodox because he's basically their 5-man. Sure, he can play a 5 or a 4, but you know, a lot of times he's their point guard. So they're going to put you in some goofy binds with him bringing the ball down the floor. They're going to set ball screens with their guards. And if you just switch them, now you've got major mismatch problems. So they're going to put us in some binds that we haven't seen. And really, just we haven't played these guys this year. And the crazy thing about the Big Sky Tournament is that all four of the games that are predetermined matchup-wise, there's not a single game. I think, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure, there's not a single game in those four that the teams played the other team in the regular season, which is just crazy. You should have played them twice. So we're trying to figure this out on the fly like all the teams. But, you know, he's good. Bryce Fowler, who's been in the program for 4 years, another Big Sky all-league guy, tough matchup, big physical wing that can play anywhere from 1 to 4. And I think that, you know, a guy like the William Fitzpatrick who can really shoot it, you know, if he gets loose for threes, that becomes a real problem. So I think in the big picture, people are going to see a very slow-paced game. Like, you know, we'll try to speed them up, but, you know, we don't press and do things like that. So we're not going to change who we are. We just need to do what we do at a high level. And then defensively, they play really hard. They mix it up a little bit. Sometimes they'll switch. Sometimes they'll you know, do different things on ball screens. So we just got to do what we do and try to do it at the highest level that we can.
Yeah, Coach, we're pumped up to see this one. Like I said, we'll be checking in the morning, and we'll be sure to recap everything tomorrow afternoon. Cannot wait for this one. I know it's been a long time to get to this point, but hey, I'm knocking on wood. Everything should be good now from here on out. You guys have, as you've talked to us about the tight protocols and everything, it's kind of its own bubble. So yeah, we should be good for game time tomorrow morning.
We should be good for game time, and you know, we're here. We're in the hotels. We're ready to rock and roll. So I know our guys are just excited to get out there and play. And not being able to play in this tournament last year, a lot of those guys are back. And just getting a chance to get out on that court and go play, that's a pretty big deal. So we're going to go give it the best effort, and we feel good about it, but one day at a time.
Well, and I think it's unique. You and I were talking about this too. Bodie Hume, I mean, it feels like he's been with the program now a while. It goes by fast, but this is only his second Big Sky Conference tournament because of the way things went down last year. And that's kind of bizarre to think of it that way.
It is bizarre. We didn't have one last year, and obviously, you know, we were the 2 seed last year. We had a bye. We had a great kind of look at the bracket. But the year before, we were 2 seed. You know, in Bodie's first one, Sam, Matt, those guys, we were the 2 seed, and the 7 seed came in and just, which was Southern Utah at the time, and just beat us bad. So again, the seeding thing. Sometimes having a bye is great. Sometimes it's not good. You know, I know the year that we made a big run when Coach Linder was here, and the year that we won that CIT. We were the 5 seed, and back then only 4 got a bye, so we didn't get a bye. We were a 5 seed in that tournament. We played the 12, which I believe was NAU, beat them pretty bad, and then we played a Weber State team the next day, seeded higher than us, and had beaten us twice during the regular season, and you know we beat them bad. So sometimes if you can get through the first one, which is not going to be easy, but if you get through this first one, we'll see how it goes from here. But again, just kind of focus on that one game at a time.
Yeah, we're pumped, man. Can't wait, Coach. Best of luck to you and your squad, and we'll look forward to it tomorrow morning.
All right, Brady. Appreciate you.
All right, man. That's Coach Steve Smiley there in Boise, ready to lock and load. I do want to point this out, Colfax. As far as the postseason goes for the Bears, it is NCAA tournament or bust. The NIT is an invite only, and they're only going with at large. So if you aren't in now, you're not getting in. So there's no amount of wins that you could earn, at least at this stage. So that's not going to be an option for the Bears because they don't have the record for that. CBI, it is a 16-team event in Florida that the Bears have passed on. So 16 teams are there. That's it. That the Bears have just decided to, you know, it's probably not worth it. I've always talked about that. The CIT, they flat out canceled due to COVID. So, for the Bears, tomorrow morning, hopefully not, but it could potentially be their final game of the season. If they win that, they'll move on to play the number one team, at least as far as the rankings go in the Big Sky, against Southern Utah. And that game would actually be during our program on Thursday. So, happy to step aside if that means the Bears are playing in another round. 20 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. It is Top Text Tuesday. Load up those texts. Let's get it going. I got a David Thompson, signed David Thompson jersey, thanks to Fresh Coat Painters South Platte. It is beautiful. They got it in the frame. I told you they would. It looks fantastic. You can see the pictures on our social media pages. I'll read some of your texts coming back. Let's see where you guys are. Load it up. Bring your takes. 20 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. I'll be right back.
Keep up with your favorite high school basketball teams with Preps Radio on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.